Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Inside Arsenal, where you can see I'm joined by James Benge, which means it is this week's Inside Arsenal Extra Time. I'm still in Munich, looking out over a rainbow, in fact, which I've just spotted over my shoulder. It was snowing this morning, James. When I opened my window, it was snowing, and proper snow as well, heavy snow. Couldn't believe it. It was kind of cold and frosty morning, which maybe sums up the feeling around Arsenal right now after that defeat. How are you doing, mate? How did you view last night?
I'm good. Yeah, I thought last night was eye-opening, interesting, and also just a slightly random game where Arsenal got the wrong breaks. How are you doing? You sound groggy. You sound like a man that's hit the beer halls.
I had a few yesterday, I have to say, and my throat is feeling it today. I'm knackered, to be honest. I've slept terribly these 2 days. Honestly, when I come away from my two young children, I always think, oh, I'm going to have really nice nights of sleep when I come to these. So it never happens. My body clock's so set on waking up at 5 a.m, 6 a.m now, because it has been, that has done for the last 9 years. I can't lie in, I can't do anything. So I'm knackered. I've barely slept these 2 days, but I'm feeling all right. I'm feeling disappointed after last night. It was a weird game. It was a weird tie, really. I think it was obviously very, very fine margins. So there is a sense of disappointment, frustration. Perhaps it was a missed opportunity. I don't think Arsenal were bad. You know, I didn't think they were bad last night. I just think they just didn't have enough to really test Bayern, and that was disappointing. Mate, I think I wanted to see, and I spoke about that in this morning's sort of reaction video, it would have been nice to have seen that sort of last 25 minutes, a reaction after Kimmich's goal, you know, a go out all guns blazing, get things into the box, have runners from deep coming into the box to be that extra man, you know, test Neuer a fair few times, put Bayern under pressure. It never really materialised. I think that's what I was a bit disappointed in last night coming away. Do you remember, and I said again this in a reaction, do you remember the Atletico Madrid Europa League semi-final?
Yeah. Year,
the 1-0 in Madrid after the 1-1 at the Emirates. And as soon as Costa scored, you never felt Arsenal were coming back into that game. And that's how I felt in the last 25 minutes yesterday. And that was the kind of the big sense of disappointment I had after the match because of that.
I thought, to their credit as well, Bayern aced that period. They slowed the game down. They didn't really foul much. They just passed the ball very neatly. I mean, you see like loads of the ball ends up going through. Much as it hurts me to say it, the excellent Eric Dier, I thought he was fantastic. And, you know, Lima as well. They did their jobs very well. And I think one of the things I was intrigued about, and I know we're going to talk about like this longer term, is how effective Bayern Munich's fringe players were for them. You know, I mean, obviously, Sané, a superstar, kind of was the one that swung the tie back in their direction in the first leg. But, you know, in this second leg, the players that I thought were some of the best were Dier, Lima. I know Goretzka's a very good, you know, a very good big name, but I don't think he's necessarily been a superstar. And I mean, you know, the value that Bayern get from those players, perhaps compared to what Arsenal get from some of the non-superstars, many of whom, I think it has to be said, had a bit of an off day. I don't think Odegaard was fully fit. I don't think Saka's looks like been looking like full 100% Bukayo Saka for a while. Yeah, I think that to me felt like a huge difference in the tie.
Yeah, yeah. No, I thought Bayern used their experience. I know it's kind of cliche, but I think they did use their Champions League experience pretty well. And ultimately, they deserved to win. It was fine margins. Mikel said afterwards it was fine margins. The goal was disappointing. You know, I thought Arsenal, on the whole, they did well defensively. Yes, I thought Saliba and Gabriel were good against Kane. Mm. They barely gave him a kick. I thought Tomiyasu did well against Sane for long periods. And yeah, I never really felt like Arsenal were under too much pressure from Bayern. They had the warning sign with the Goretzka header, didn't they, at the start of the second half? And then they just switched off from and didn't track Kimmich. And I know I saw your tweets during the game.
Yeah.
You talked about sort of freedom that Kimmich was kind of being given. And, the, you know, maybe that sort of gave him the belief to go forward and make that kind of run because he wasn't being tracked. And, you know, obviously it was a very good header. But I think Arsenal, when they look at that and they assess how that goal happened, they will be disappointed in the part some of the players played in it.
Yeah. What's so frustrating is Arsenal are usually so good at dominating aerial duels. And I thought, I mean, you know, they defended almost every other corner that came their way quite excellently. Hmm. There's something, though, about the way that they manage set pieces and manage crosses in Europe. I don't know why it's not that effective. Actually, I really thought that just going looping all the way back, I thought that in the last few minutes. How often in those corners in Champions League games, fouls have been given against Ben White that you would never see in the Premier League. And another thing, you know, this is one of those games where you have loads of little things on your mind because it's the little things that have decided this game, isn't it? This isn't like, you know, if we'd been doing this show 7 years ago, we'd be talking about whether you need to sack the manager, what you need, you know, what the structure of the football club needs to be. Now we are talking about what does Nicolas Jova need to do to adapt his set piece routine so that he doesn't give away, they don't give away two fouls a game. So I think that almost makes it, I suspect it makes it a little bit more dispiriting because it is only the little things this time. It's not the, you don't have to fix the club. You've just got to tweak around the edges.
No, exactly. And this is the start of Arsenal's Champions League journey, really. It's the start, you know, it's the first time they've been there for a long, long time. How do you view this sort of campaign as a whole when it comes to the Champions League? At the start of the season, would you have said quarterfinal, very narrow defeat to a team like Bayern Munich in the quarterfinal? Is a failure? I certainly wouldn't say it was a failure. I think it's a decent, they've had a decent first effort. They've got that sort of, got over the mental block of getting through the last 16, getting to the quarterfinal. They were very, very close. I think they'll certainly be disappointed because they did have I do feel like they could easily have come through this tie. And so there is definitely going to be a sense of disappointment in the squad. There's certainly going to be a sense of disappointment in the fan base that they haven't got through over these two legs because I think Bayern were there for the taking and Arsenal didn't do it. And that is disappointing. But I think as a whole, for your first foray back into this competition, I don't think they've let themselves down by any means. And I think they'll certainly learn from it. And I think they'll certainly improve on it going forward over the next couple of years.
Yeah, exactly. I think they've gone round in par because, you know, you have to say the round of 16 wasn't perfect, but I think some of this is about getting the experience, getting monkeys off the back of the club as a whole, you know, winning that round of 16 tie and, you know, negotiating a group stage quite effectively as well. These things matter, but, you know, we shouldn't get carried away and give them too much of a free pass. I still, you know, I wrote before the knockout round that the three best teams in the world are the English teams. I still believe that. I think Arsenal are a better team than Bayern. So there should always be a degree of disappointment, no matter the experience levels. And I know Tuchel said afterwards, didn't he, that he thought the experience had won it for Bayern. But that means the quality was there to win it for Arsenal. So I would say it's a pass score. No better, but that, you know, it's not a problem. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Par is absolutely what it is. And there is definitely, as I said, that, you know, they need to learn from it. They need to improve on it because they have missed a big opportunity, I think, over the two legs. I don't think that was really lost last night. I think it was lost more in North London.
Yeah.
Arsenal had a real opportunity there. The way the game was going, got themselves in front early on. They could really have and beyond Bayern, I think, in at the Emirates, and they didn't. They let them back into the game, let them off the hook, and that, you know, gave them a very difficult task tomorrow. Last night, and how pointing Bayern have been domestically this season, going to the Allianz Arena in a Champions League quarterfinal second leg without an advantage is always going to be very, very difficult for anyone, and that's how it proves. So I think when they sort of reflect on this, which I know they will, they'll look back on that game at North London and think, you know, we should have taken something to Munich. We needed to take something to Munich. And, you know, you can go back to the Ben White chance to make it 2-0 and the sort of slide indoors moment that happened when he put it straight at Neuer. And within a blink of an eye, really, there's suddenly 2-1 down at the other end. So, yeah, much to learn from it. I think they definitely need to improve. I don't think they've let themselves down, but I think they've certainly left something out there when it comes to the Champions League this year. And, you know, they were so close to having that dream semi-final against Real Madrid. It was right there, and they let it slip through their fingers, and that's a shame, because that would have been a special couple of games.
We shouldn't let this pass without saying, however, at the very least, they've made it a lot more difficult for Tottenham to qualify for the Champions League.
Yes, Arsenal and Manchester City certainly doing
outstanding work.
Doing the German coefficients are a world of good when it comes to that. So it looks like Italy and Germany certainly going to have the extra spaces now. So fifth isn't going to get you in the Champions League next season. It also means that Arsenal are not going to be in the new Club World Cup.
Oh, no.
In 2025 as well.
Oh, no.
They miss out on that glorious, glorious competition that is being introduced, expanded competition that is being introduced. The only way they had to win it this year, didn't they, to qualify for that. So they're not going to be in that. So, you know, enough about the game. We've discussed that. Everyone's discussed that. But in terms of sort of moving forward now, you know, we've talked about, you know, Arsenal need to learn from this now. And what, you know, how do Arsenal learn from this? What, I mean, it's hard talking like this, I suppose, because there's still plenty of the season to go. And we've got some huge games, and Arsenal can still go on and win the Premier League. It's going to be tough, but they can still go on and win the Premier League. But a defeat like this to a team like Bayern, ultimately, you know, you're going to have to think, right, what do we do next season? How do we improve on this again next season? How do we take that next step? How do we go one better? How do we beat and overcome a European giant like Bayern if we get them again next season, which, you know, Arsenal probably will. So what do you think, Mikel and Edu, when they sit down and, you know, Richard Garlick and just Stan and Josh, who were at the game last night over here, you know, what do you think they're going to be thinking about when it comes to the next stage of this sort of Arsenal development now? You know, where do Arsenal go from here?
So I would, or certainly I'm looking at this, and, you know, I will admit that Edu may know more about football than me. I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at, you know, Real Madrid knocking out Man City, and to an extent, even, you know, the PSG games and those. And it just reminds me that sometimes, especially in, I think systems win you leagues, but in the Champions League, you just need the superstar talent as well. And sometimes that's what turns up and kills the opponent. And I think Arsenal have some of those players, but maybe not enough in the final third. It really felt apparent to me when the pressure was on that they just had to keep cycling the ball into that Saka Ødegaard channel. We've seen it before as well, haven't we? Saw it against Villa. That ultimately, Mikel Arteta doesn't quite have at least one more forward that you just go, here's the ball, go and win us the game. I know Jesus has his own unique way of doing that, and sometimes it looks like it's just about to pay off. But I could run through the names, whether it's someone like a Rafael Leao, Kvaratskhelia, you know, you can throw your own names. I'm not reporting those names either. That's what I think is needed. It's in the final third is just players that take the game by the scruff of the neck. It's no criticism to say that Martinelli isn't that, and I think there's always got to be the balance of thinking Martinelli could be that, Saka could be more of that, Ødegaard too. But even then, you know, like Bayern Munich had in the first leg Kingsley Coman coming off the bench to replace Gnabry and Sane. And, you know, those were the guys that won that tie for Bayern, weren't they? The absolute, you know, Leroy Sané, effectively, let's say it, won the tie because he was the one that swung momentum in the, with help from Arsenal defence, in the first leg. And I just don't know that Arsenal have someone like that, even Saka. And I'm sure Saka will be that player eventually. But that for me was my overriding thought coming out of the game.
Yeah, no one wants to hear about projects and stuff, do they, really, when it comes to Arsenal? We've heard the name.
We do like signings.
Project, process, all that sort of stuff. over the last few years. And it's like, how long does this go on for? How long can it be a project? But I do think that the steps Arsenal have taken over the last couple of years have been so big that I still feel that they're probably ahead of schedule. When Arteta and Edu sat down at the start of it all and thought, right, where are we going to be? You know, I'm not sure they'd have said at this stage, you know, at the start of last season, for example, after they'd just signed Zinchenko and Jesus, they would have thought, you know, right, in 2 years' time, we're going to have competed for the Premier League 2 years in a row, pushed Man City all the way and got to the Champions League quarter final when our first year back. I'm not sure they would have definitely said they would have hoped it, but I'm not sure that they would have sort of planned for it. So I still feel they potentially are ahead of schedule. And I think also when you talk about Jesus and Zinchenko, which was only, what, less than two seasons ago, those were signings that were brought in to take Arsenal to the next level. And yet we're already kind of at a stage where you feel like they've outgrown those two players now, potentially. Now we need to go above that. And that shows, again, the pace at which Arsenal have improved and how their ambitions have changed. So I think it's going to be really interesting what they do in the summer and how they try and take the next stage forward. I think what's very, very apparent is that Arteta needs a squad that he trusts more than he does. I think he's got 13, 14, maybe 15 players right now who he does trust, who he'll play and who will rotate between those 14, 15 players. But beyond that, it's like, it's just not, he needs more. There's clearly players in the squad who, as much as he talks up, he doesn't really want to turn to, and he doesn't feel he can turn to, because they're not going to make the difference. And you need more than that. You need to have 18, 19. And I think that's got to be the process now going forward. And that's what Arsenal will try and learn from this run, I think, because I think when you're in this stage, when you're throwing on Eddie Nketiah, and that's not a dig at Eddie Nketiah, but when you're throwing on Eddie at 1-0 down away at Bayern Munich, try and get a goal when he scored one in his last 23 appearances, it kind of says where you are at the moment and what you need to improve and how you need to improve in the squad. And I think that's going to be the challenge. He was really disappointed afterwards, Mikel, yesterday. Came into the presser and you could really sense how disappointed he was. He talked about how proud he was of the players and all that sort of generic stuff. But you could really, you know, I think he knew that was a missed opportunity and he just didn't quite have enough in his squad to push Bayern Leverkusen he would have probably liked. So, I mean, we all know, I think forwards, absolutely, like you say, it's just so crucial getting that right attacking, potentially even two, I think, not just one. I think you need to add at least a couple of attacking players to this squad to really take it to the next level, you know, midfielder as well to come in. So there's lots of work for him to do. I mean, Edu went, I saw he went on afterwards, he said on his Instagram, and I'm so proud of you guys. And I was thinking,
it's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
God, I don't know. Do Arsenal fans want to hear? We are proud of you. Right now, it's like, yeah, I think Arsenal tweeted as well, didn't it? After the game, it was something about a great journey comes to an end.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And it's like, well, I don't know, is that the tone you really want as a big club? You know, pride at quarterfinal exit and this journey. You know, I don't know if that's the tone. I don't feel like that's what Arsenal should be. I know they're early on in the development still, but I think they've got to be bigger than, you know, being proud to get to the quarterfinals. I think they're going to move away from that.
I think you've hit on a really interesting point there. And this is something I would love to sort of sit down and almost try to explain to Arsenal people and put on the sort of hat of someone that has followed this club for nearly 30 years. Like, what Arteta and Edu have done to get Arsenal from where they were to where they are is exceptional. But I do wonder when I see things like that, if everyone at the club, and I know many people do, but if everyone fully understands that where Arsenal are now is what supporters view as the minimum standard, the minimum expectation, is that a team like Arsenal, the third most successful team in terms of league titles in English football history, that this is it. This is just the standard. You know, if you win league titles, congratulations, you've beaten, like, you know, expectations, so to speak. But it's the norm. And obviously there's a generation of Arsenal supporters and people that followed Arsenal at sort of my age that were raised on a lot better than the norm. But I think, you know, it is brilliant what the, and you should celebrate what these young guys have achieved in 18 months. But they and Arsenal, and especially people like Edu, who I'm certain do know this, but maybe could be better at communicating it, especially for the sort of angry corner of the Arsenal fandom, do need to understand that, like, yeah, what you're doing here is just achieving what Arsenal supporters are entitled to think is the standard. Like I said, that's why this campaign's been par for the course. It's fine, but it, you know, we've seen better, and the supporters want better.
I had a really interesting comment for someone sent it in from Johnny, who I discussed it in this morning's show, but I wanted to read it to you. So which I thought it was interesting. It says, "Hi, Charles. I don't know if this is the place to be commenting for the Bayern reaction video, but then, this is the wrong one. Sorry. I'm going to find this because
I keep waffling.
You can keep waffling.
I suppose, of course, the point is, like, you know, we haven't necessarily said this, so it's worth saying. Like, Arsenal will be back here. You know, all that we can joke about fifth place now not being a Champions League place because Arsenal are going to be in the top three. So they don't need to worry about that. And that, like, you know, I would expect from Arsenal the same thing that we got in the Premier League, where year two, even if it might end in disappointment again, it might not, that it's less, a bit less chaotic, but kind of no less effective. I totally understand that for new players in the Champions League, where experience does shine through, it can be a bit more messy. It can be a bit more highs and lows. And I would expect that consistency in year two. I think they will be much better, and I think they will compete next year, because everything else we know is that they'll probably get the recruitment just about right.
Yeah. And I think they've competed well this year. You know, I'd have loved to have seen them against Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Over two legs to see how they got on and see how they dealt with that. It's a real shame. It would have been such a special night, the game at the Emirates, to have Real Madrid in town for a semi-final like that. And it would have been a real great sort of way to view where Arsenal are right now, because I certainly don't think they should be ashamed of what they did against Bayern Munich. And yeah, I thought the rest of Europe, I thought, you know, Tuchel's comments afterwards said, you know, Arsenal are an elite team. And I don't know if that was almost like a little sort of patronising pat on the head type thing to Arsenal. But I don't think it was. I think he genuinely believes that. And I think the view across Europe from top coaches and managers will be that. They kind of look at Arsenal and think, you know, that is a real tough challenge to play Arsenal now. And I do feel like they're going to improve next season as well. I'm utterly convinced they're a better team now than they were last season. Whatever happens between now and the end of the season, I absolutely do believe that, and I think they're going to be better again next season. But obviously the summer is so crucial. I found that question now. I just wanted to get your views on it. He says, obviously last night was a disappointment. We can all analyze the reasons why and debate the needs for change. But my question is about windows. How long do you reckon our window can remain open? Not too many years ago, everyone proclaimed Pochettino Spurs were about to become the next great thing in English and European football. And then seemingly overnight, Spurs' window of opportunity slammed shut. Given our current squad, how long do you reckon our window for potentially great things can remain open? And given FFP considerations, is it reasonable to expect Edu to find the missing pieces to push us over the hump? No one wants regression and no one wants to be Spurs. So how long do we have? Which I thought was quite an interesting one in terms of where Arsenal are right
now. Really good question.
You know, how long Arsenal can have this window of opportunity to really go for the major honours. And I was thinking about it. I was like, no, I still think that window of opportunity is still very, very big for Arsenal. I still think they're at the start of it. You look at, obviously, City are going to be really, really strong, always going to be really strong. But I look at Liverpool, the end of the Klopp era is, you know, nigh, potentially the end of the Salah era as well. We'll see what happens in the summer with that. So that's going to be a rebuild, whatever happens. They've got a good squad, but it is going to be a rebuild, and it's going to be a new manager in town. You look at Spurs, you look at Chelsea, you look at United, as well. You know, no one looks settled there to really have a big, big push. I think Arsenal look very well placed. They've got a young team who are getting better, getting more experience. They're all tied down to long-term contracts. They're just starting out in the Champions League again. So, I'm not worried about that window opportunity shutting, but he does raise a very good point that at some point you have to get over the line and you have to not just be the young kids in town like Spurs were under Pochettino, who everyone loved but didn't do anything. Arsenal can't allow themselves to become that and then sort of fall down again. They need to get over the line pretty soon, I would say.
Because the players are too good. I completely agree with you. I don't think it's 1 or 2 years. But I think if William Saliba, I'm not going to say Bukayo Saka, but, if players like William Saliba, even Declan Rice and Ødegaard, who in 3 years' time will be 28, 29. I mean, the challenge might be then that they're very hard to sell, but let's assume they're still giving out world-class performances. If they haven't made it over the line with Arsenal in 3 years, let's say, they're such good players. They will be thinking to themselves, I can't retire without winning a Champions League trophy. I can't retire without winning the Premier League. And, Mikel Arteta would probably think the same thing.
Yeah.
It's really hard, isn't it? Because there's only so many trophies to win. And, I'm sure that Arsenal fans get, they get so frustrated, especially I think when you've got a more worldwide view, because you see sort of ordinary teams like winning major silverware, but the reality is, like you say, Man City aren't going anywhere, and the deck is always stacked against you when you're Man City. Arsenal have got almost everything right with recruitment, just like Liverpool did before, and it hasn't actually translated to any silverware yet, and it didn't translate to as much as that Liverpool team were worth, probably. I don't think it's half a decade. It's got to be fairly quick, but I'm also pretty confident it will happen with this team, that something big will be won, Premier League or Champions League.
Yeah, I think that as well, but it's the hardest thing to do, isn't it? I think you talk about those players, but I think Mikel Arteta is going to be absolutely crucial to it as well, because I think he will get a new contract. I'm sure of that. So I don't see him going anywhere anytime soon, but you've got to win something under Arteta, I think, because he is a very good manager. And honestly, I've seen some Arteta out stuff on social again today, which just makes me smile. But he's such a good manager. And, he's going to want it, like you say, as well as the players want to achieve things and win things, he's going to want to win things as well. And there's going to be a lot of clubs looking at Mikel. They do need to get over the line soon, but I don't think it's anyone's needs to worry about it just yet. Obviously Wolves at the weekend. Now it's a huge game for Arsenal. They haven't got any time to really sort of lick their wounds after what happened last night. And it's Wolves on, is Wolves Saturday, Chelsea Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Is it Tuesday? And then Spurs have got no games between now and then. Spurs are going to be absolutely, I think they've had 15 days to prepare for the derby. Arsenal are going to have had so many games. The squad looks tired, jaded, whatever you want to call it at the moment. How does Mikel approach things against Wolves and against Chelsea? I mean, do you buy into the fact that they look knackered? Do you think that's why things have sort of gone wrong in the last week or so? Do you think it is a tiredness, fatigue?
They have looked knackered. They certainly have. Like, the strange thing is when you list all those games, I go you might look knackered, but they're just going to have to get through it.
Yeah.
There's no way around it. I don't really think now there's much opportunity for rotation beyond maybe the fullbacks and maybe a forward. You just need Rice, Ødegaard, if he's fit, all those guys to just summon whatever's in their locker for the next 3-4 weeks. Because I know it felt doomed a month, on Sunday, and it probably feels even more doomed today. But in all likelihood, City aren't going to win every single game. So it is still there. It is still, Arsenal still have a real chance. I think you just have to run out the guys that would feel so disappointed. Challenge them for that response at Wolves. I don't think Wolves is this impossible task that I know that a lot of people saw it as on the fixture list. Wolves are good, but they're not as good as Arsenal, and they're not as good as like 95% Arsenal. That's what you're going to need to be getting to. And the same with Chelsea, frankly, and maybe the same with Spurs. Arsenal are good enough to beat all those teams. And that's probably what they need to do.
If they win the next two games, because City don't play until the following weekend, do they? So Arsenal win those two games, they're going to be 4 points clear of City before City play again. Obviously, City will have games in hand, but that is scoreboard pressure almost, which we know City are pretty good at dealing with. They've shown that in the past, but it is still there. It is still pressure.
They know Liverpool and Arsenal felt it, didn't they, on Sunday? I can't believe they didn't.
And so that's all Arsenal got to do. They just have to, like you said, somehow pick themselves up, dust themselves down and go again and just put everything on the line for the next couple of weeks, because they still do have a really big opportunity. It's disappointing that everyone feels today. And I know there is a sense of disappointment that there is still a lot to play for. And it's easy to forget that on the back of these last two results.
It's probably also worth remembering what the feelings were like in previous Champions League eliminations, because I tell you, I did not feel disappointed when Arsenal got knocked out by Bayern Munich. Disappointment was very low down on my list of feelings. There was a lot of anger. There was a lot of fatalism. But I don't think there was this sort of, oh, man, oh, we were nearly there. Like, you do have to sort of remember that. And I mean, that should drive the players on, because if you're nearly there in the Champions League, then maybe you're nearly there in the Premier League as well. And in many ways, you know, I think we remember that Chelsea game last season. I know there's the Wolves game to come before, but the way that Arsenal had those setbacks and they just saw a proper rival, a wounded version of the rival, but a proper rival come into town, and they said, yeah, this is where we show who we are. And I think this is a great opportunity for them to do that over the next week. And the team Arsenal are at full power, full tilt, is so capable of getting 9 points. It might not, but it is really capable of it.
Yeah, 100% it is capable. Are you there? Are you going on Saturday? Are you at Molineux?
At Molineux?
Yeah.
No. I'm getting married.
Oh, of course you are. Wait, is that this weekend?
That's this weekend, yeah.
Oh, well, everyone...
Hence why I wasn't in Munich as well. You know, you can't be flying off to Germany 3 days before you went.
Absolutely. Everyone join in with me in the comments below and pass on your congratulations and best wishes to James Bench.
What I want them to do is I need suggestions for how I can not think about the game, because I will be, which is dreadful. I hope my future wife doesn't watch these.
What time do you get married?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. Oh, so you already have the ring on your finger then by the time game kicks off.
It's true, exactly. She's locked in.
To be fair, that's just a big party after that, so it doesn't really matter if you think about the game.
And it would be an even bigger party if Arsenal win at Molineux.
The day I got married, England were playing San Marino, so I didn't quite have the same nerves of what was happening in the football at the time as you will.
I thought when we put the wedding that Arsenal would be out of the title race. I don't even know why. It was about this time last year. So I was like, oh, yeah, well, Arsenal are never doing that again. That's a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Maybe it'll just be during your speech. You'll be doing a speech and suddenly you'll get your alert on your phone. Kyle! Oh, sorry, everyone. Right, anyway, I'm going to have to cut this off, mate, because I need to get to the airport very, very soon. I need to get this uploaded. So I am walking a very fine line of missing my plane.
There you go.
I am going to have to cut this off. And look, good luck for the weekend. Really hope it goes well. I'm sure it will. Have a fantastic time yourself and your future Mrs. Benj. And everyone, thank you very much for watching. I'll be back tomorrow to do my usual show as we start to build up to that game against Wolves. Mikel Arteta's press conference tomorrow, of course, as well, ahead of that game. So keep your eyes peeled for that. But for now, thank you, James. Have a great weekend, mate. Good luck.
See you soon.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.